The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Yep, the weekend is over and we have a lot to talk about. Everyone, welcome on into First Take on this Monday. I'm Charlie Arnold. We got Max Kellerman, Stephen A. Smith in the house. Both of you looking very dapper this morning. Although, Stephen A., I must say, a little disappointed to not see you with your man bag. I know that's your style staple these days, but we'll move on from that because, guys, we have injuries on two championship contenders that happened over the weekend. First, KD, he's in Brooklyn. He has a strained hamstring, but you just heard from LeBron, so let's go to LA and focus on the injury with AD. Now, last night, Anthony Davis was pulled from action after the first half, after the Nuggets, and aggravating the tendinosis in his right Achilles. He will now undergo an MRI today. That according to a source telling our agent Wojnarowski. The big man missing two games earlier this week for the same issue with his right Achilles. And the Lakers, they did go on to fall 122 to 105 to the Nuggets. So Stephen A., let's start with you here. What was your first reaction after hearing about AD's injury?
My first reaction after hearing about Anthony Davis aggravating his right Achilles is that the Brooklyn Nets are going to win the NBA championship. That's the first reaction that I had, Max Kellerman. My reaction is that it's the Lakers, as far as I'm concerned, are the only team standing in the way of Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden winning the chip. And I've dismissed the Eastern Conference, and I don't mean any disrespect. Philadelphia has vastly improved. Milwaukee is not a team to ignore. I get all of that. But the bottom line is I'm looking at James Harden right now. The brother's averaging 23, 11, and 8 on 48% shooting, 38% from three-point range. I don't need to get into Kevin Durant's number. It's at 29%. I'm worried about his hamstring strain or whatever. Keep an eye on that. But I'm as long as he's healthy, I'm looking at it along those lines. And Kyrie Irving is just playing like the superstar talent that he is. He is putting on a show night in and night out. Now, when he takes a hiatus or whatever, you get worried because that can be distraction. We understand that. But when this brother is on the court, he is something spectacular to behold. They're the number one offense in the NBA. They're absolutely, positively unstoppable. And it's going to take an elite team on both ends of the floor to knock them off. We've got elite defensive teams in the NBA. We've got elite offensive teams in the NBA. What we don't have outside of the Lakers in our mind, due to LeBron James, what we don't have is a team that has both other than the Lakers. That's how we view them. And so when I look at Anthony Davis, LeBron is as sensational as he's been, particularly from three-point range. That was before February. In the month of February, he's shooting like 28% from three-point range. So it's dipped a little bit. Obviously, he's not doing what he's been doing for the first month and a half of the season from three-point range. But I still look at it and I say LeBron will be just fine. He'll be there when it counts, but he needs AD. And without AD, the Lakers have no chance of winning the championship. And if the Lakers have no chance, then who the hell is going to beat Brooklyn? That answer is absolutely, positively no one. And so when I heard about Anthony Davis and I saw that Achilles strain, and I don't think Max, he should be playing for the next month. I think he should be out at least a month. Don't even play with it. Let him sit down. No All-Star, no nothing. He doesn't need to be playing for at least another month. And these guys need to get away from wearing them damn low-top sneakers. Wear some high-top sneakers, for crying out loud. That might help you a little bit, too. Go old school. Stop doing this stuff.
What do you want, with Chuck Taylor?
High-top. Put up the boots. Wear boots, for crying out loud. Do something. But in the end, the first thought that came to my mind is the Brooklyn Nets are going to win the NBA championship if Anthony Davis can't go.
That's not where my mind went. My mind went right to the Western Conference. First of all, let me just address your Nets point. The fact that Kyrie approaches James Harden and says, you're the point guard, I'm off guard, is exactly right. It's self-serving in a way because Kyrie gets to shoot more. But the reason Harden's better than Kyrie really is because he has better judgment with the ball. His judgment's better than Kyrie. He's a more mature player. But in terms of just spectacular skills, Kyrie is even better than Harden. I mean, in terms of scoring the ball, I know Harden's an amazing scorer, but this is the best allocation of their resources. Harden's taller, so you think of him more as a two-guard and Kyrie shorter. But in fact, Kyrie got that right. I think they're going to benefit from that kind of understanding of roles. I think what we saw from DeAndre Jordan last week was important, because if he can be the defensive player in the paint, and they don't have to play five out, they can play four out with Joe Harris and the big three. They don't need to play Jeff Green at the five. If DeAndre Jordan can be that guy to secure those defensive boards, the Nets could get out of the East. But Stephen A., that's not necessarily the situation we have right now with the Nets. We're hoping that they can get there. Right now, they're giving up more points than is possible to get to a finals. Let me say why my mind goes to the Western Conference. If the Lakers don't have AD, and I agree with you, take a nice long rest till it is better. If the Lakers don't have AD, they not only have to contend with Denver, who got playoff experience last year and just smoked them without AD, the Denver team that came back on the Clippers that wasn't ready for the Lakers last year, they're not getting by that Denver team without AD, obviously. What about Utah right now? I'm going to get to them a little bit later in the show. The Clippers. You keep talking about Kawhi came to L.A. and he targeted LeBron. That's true. But last year, in fact, they didn't have quite enough. They needed a point guard to organize the offense. I felt they didn't wind up with it. They didn't get Rondo in the offseason, so I thought, no, I'm not worried about the Clippers. Paul George can't be a good enough Robin to Kawhi's Batman. But Stephen A., they did a couple of things. They brought in Serge Ibaka, which we both felt was a marginal improvement over Montrezl Harrell. They can both defend, but Ibaka can also block shots and shoot from the outside, making him a more valuable piece. But also Nick Batum. Nick Batum, once upon a time, got a max deal or a near max deal, and no one was like, or some people were, but the consensus was, yeah, he's a really good player. He earned that contract. Talk about statless all-star. This guy does everything you want him to do. Then he went to a non-competitive situation. He got his money. He wasn't competing for the playoffs. He looked like he was done with basketball, to me anyway. But on the Clippers, Stephen A., this dude is back to being Nick Batum. And when you factor that in, how do the Lakers get by the Clippers without AD? Even without Batum? Even if it was Harrell without Ibaka? How would they get by the Clippers without AD? I don't think they get out of the West. I don't know if they get to the Western Conference Finals without AD. And I think that's a bigger problem than Brooklyn. Brooklyn's first got to play some defense even to get out of the East.
Well, I get where you're coming from. I mean, what I'm saying to you, Max Kellerman, is that, again, the question is, what was the first thought that came to my mind after the injury? So I'm not saying it to imply that Brooklyn would beat the Lakers in the finals. I'm saying that Brooklyn would win it all. You understand what I'm saying? Because whether the Lakers probably wouldn't get to the finals, you know, which is basically your point. So there's no disagreement there, but I don't think there's anybody else that can beat the Nets other than the Los Angeles Lakers, a healthy Los Angeles Lakers squad. I don't think there's anybody else that would beat them, and that includes the Clippers, despite what the Brooklyn Nets defensive woes are. Did you watch the game when the Clippers played the Nets a couple of weeks ago? Did you watch how the Clippers were up, you know, with, I think it was like with about 6 minutes left or something, if I remember correctly, they were up, and then all of a sudden the Brooklyn Nets, in the blink of an eye, scored like 13 of the next 15
points. Like what Denver did to them last year.
This is what they do, man. There's too much offensive firepower, and I'm just looking at it from the standpoint that I'm just wondering, what are you going to be able to do? Sure, the Clippers could come out the West, or Denver could come out the West. Hell, if you're listening to Giannis, Utah could come out the West, especially if Anthony Davis ain't healthy. But in the end, I believe whoever that team is, Brooklyn Nets will be waiting to take them down. Without a healthy Anthony Davis, the Brooklyn Nets will win the NBA championship.
Usually, that would be right. And if you ask me to guess, I would guess that that's right now. Because when you have big pieces like Brooklyn has, if you need to tweak the roster at the trade deadline, you can. But I'm talking about as currently constructed, I don't know that the Nets beat whoever comes out of the West. That would really depend on DeAndre Jordan consistently, like he played when he played really good defense, really for the first time this year last week. That would depend on not only those guys gelling, but those guys buying in and communicating on defense in a year where, without practice because of COVID, like normal, it's much more difficult to develop that. I'm not so sure. Probably they can get it, but as of right now, if it started today, they wouldn't beat any of those Western Conference teams best out of seven.
Okay, well, dating back to last season, the Lakers are 9-4 with LeBron and without Anthony Davis in the lineup, but most of those wins, guys, were against pretty mediocre, if not flat-out awful teams. All right, well, let's stay in the West and now focus on a team that could be coming for that Lakers repeat title. I'm talking about the Utah Jazz. They're 22-5 after beating the Bucks and the Heat this weekend, and the reigning back-to-back MVP, Giannis, giving out some big props.
You know, today we played the game, I guess, the best team in the West. They've been playing amazing. They won with this game 17 out of the last 18. You know, they're playing good. They're moving the ball. They're making threes. They're finding the rollers. They're keeping it simple. They're going to the front line. They're pretty much doing everything. They're having fun.
Keeping it simple, but doing a lot. So, Max, do you think the Lakers need to be worried about the Jazz?
Yes, I do. And Kendrick Perkins was arguing this last week. Yes, they should be worried about the Jazz. I mean, the Lakers, I think the Lakers will beat the Jazz when it comes down to it, but not if AD is compromised. We're talking about if he's not on the court. If he's not on the court, the Lakers are cooked. But if AD is there, but Stephen A., let's say he's some lower percentage of himself significantly because he's dealing with an injury, yeah, the Jazz would probably beat him right now. And here's the thing. Last year, we saw the Jazz and that Denver team. I can't remember a better first-round series. Like, I don't know. Like, you can go back to those Knicks-Miami series back in the day, Stephen A., with Alonzo and Tim Hardaway against Patrick Ewing and them. But those were defensive struggles. Denver and Utah, Donovan Mitchell and Jamal Murray put on a show for the ages. That should have been in a conference finals, not in the first round. And Denver won by the skin of their teeth. And that was without Bogdanovich, right? So you add him, and now you think, oh, maybe that swings it Utah's way. That's not a stretch to say you add a really important piece and it can swing Utah's way. But here's the real difference. Mike Conley was not Mike Conley last year, not in the regular season or the playoffs. You know, when they moved to get him, I thought, ooh, that's great. Mike Conley is sort of a poor man's Chris Paul. And not a poverty-stricken man's Chris Paul either. Just not quite Chris Paul, but does a lot of the same things for your team. I always thought he was underrated, and if he's not great, he's the next thing to it. But he wasn't Mike Conley for that team last year. Stephen A., Mike Conley is playing elite basketball this year. Like, all-star and then some, no doubt. And if you put him, because when we think about these things, yeah, it's nice to have Bogdanovich as a piece. Joe Ingles, Gobert as a defensive stopper, you know. But what we're really thinking is, yeah, we know you got one guy who could go get it for you when you need it. Usually it takes two. Mike Conley can be Donovan Mitchell's crime partner that way, not just in terms of organizing the defense and hitting shots, but getting his own shot when it matters. Yes, they need to be worried about Utah.
I say no. And the reason that I say no is only because, I mean, I throw health aside because that's a given. If you're compromised to the point where you can't play or you're just a shell of yourself because you're playing, but you're clearly hobbled, a lot of teams have a chance. We understand that. When I answer a question like this, I'm saying Utah 100% healthy. The Lakers 100% healthy. Do I have a reason for concern? The answer is no. And here's why I feel that way. Because I don't trust anybody on Utah outside of Donovan Mitchell. I like the way Mike Conley is playing, and I appreciate that. I've always had tremendous respect for Mike Conley. He's averaging about 16 this year, shooting 45% from the field, about 41% from three-point range, which is impressive. No question about that. That's not what he normally does. I'm assuming that will dip a little bit as the season progresses. I'm just going to make that assumption. Okay, we look at them defensively. Rudy Gobert is averaging like 14 points, 13 rebounds, nearly three blocks a game. You can rely on him to do that against almost anyone, Max, except who?
Yeah.
That would be Anthony Davis and LeBron James, okay? So we got that going on, right? Royce O'Neal, this dude is proving to be a pretty elite defender in the NBA. I think he's the unsung hero for the Utah Jazz. He's like their version of Drew Holiday, not offensively, but defensively in terms of what he brings to the table, okay? Well, here's the problem with that. If you're going up against the Lakers, who's your point? Who's your point? Who's the dude that's running the show? Who's the dude that exploits mismatches at every turn? And Royce O'Neal is about 5 inches shorter and about 30 pounds lighter. I mean, this is what I'm talking about here. So when you break it down from a basketball perspective, I think the Lakers are nightmarish for Utah. Now, Donovan Mitchell is a stud, and as far as I'm concerned, a superstar. And I think, and I look at it a little bit differently than you. You talk about how their matchup, his matchup against Jamal Murray should have been a conference finals. Yeah, that's kind of true. But here's another way to look at it. Because of last season and COVID and all that came with it and being in a bubble, what a way to start off the playoffs with those two going at it. It was spectacular.
That was unbelievable.
So we got this. Utah is a top two defensive team. They're elite defensively on the interior, as well as getting out to defend three-pointers, because you know the interior is protected by Rudy Gobert. Offensively, they're far more efficient than we expected, and they deserve credit. But do I believe it's something that they can sustain the last two quarters of the season? I'm not sold. I will say this, though. If they're a top two or three seed, they don't have to worry about going up against a fourth seed or a third seed until the second round. So because of that, I can see them getting out of the first round this year, being in the conference semifinals. But I got to see I have no questions about Donovan Mitchell. Zero. Everybody else, I got to see it.
Well, look,
to believe it.
If push came to shove and you called for both of our predictions.
They're exceptionally well coached, by the way.
Right, that's what I'm getting to. If push came to shove and you asked for our predictions, I'm also going to take the Lakers if they're both fully healthy. And that's because of what you identified. They have LeBron James. So in those close games, you just trust that a guy who's so much better than anyone on the other team will get it done. But when you bring up, in the end, I'll take, but should they be worried about the Jazz? Do the Jazz pose a legitimate threat? They do, because of what you just mentioned. Exceptionally well-coached teams that move the ball well, that play unselfishly, and that also have superstars when they need it most. Donovan Mitchell is a star regularly. When you need him most, he's a superstar. And the gravity he creates, and even a guy like Bogdanovich creates, makes it easier for Conley, Stephen A. So when you say you don't know if Conley is sustainable at these rates because the advanced analytics say he's elite, like a top five player or something like that, right? He's something crazy this year. Maybe that'll regress a little bit to the mean, but the point is he can have the best season of his career this year because of the situation he's in. And sometimes a team that's exceptionally well coached, that has a superstar and other important parts, can pop their head up and knock off the champion, knock off the favored team. We've seen it with the Dallas Mavericks. We've seen it with the Detroit Pistons. And it could be that the Jazz are a version of that this season.
We'll see.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Too blessed to be stressed, or so Dak says. Whether he remains in Dallas is the big question right now. No long-term deal has been made, but it does seem like the quarterback wants to stay put. On Friday, tight end Blake Jarwin posting a photo on Instagram, tagging Prescott, captioning it with the quote, "Want to run it back in a few months?" To which Prescott then responded by sharing the photo to his story with a message saying, quote, "That's the only way I see it." Stephen A., what does this exchange tell you about Dak and the Cowboys?
Tells me he's not going anywhere. It tells me he doesn't want to go anywhere. And, you know, if you don't want to go anywhere, if you're not going to be dogged in your approach to get what you believe that you deserve, and your only recourse is to wait before ultimately Jerry is compelled to sign you to the kind of deal that you want that involves 4 years instead of 5 years, and that's about as far as you're willing to go, then you know what? Why should somebody else go out and pursue you? Dak Prescott's a hell of a player. He's got a 42-27 record as a starter. Up until his injury last year, he had never missed a game. His previous 4 years, he had never missed a game. It was back page news when he had to miss a practice. Incredibly reliable, trustworthy, model citizen, leader both on and off the field. The players love him. They love playing with him, love playing for him. He's inspirational. He's motivational. And we saw how the Dallas Cowboys crumbled like a cheap tent the second that he was gone. And taking all of those things into consideration, and Jerry Jones still being a bit reluctant to give you the contract you believe you deserve, particularly when he's paid everybody else, and still in all, you do everything you can to show your love, your affection, and your affinity for the Dallas Cowboys, it tells me you're not going anywhere. So Jerry can afford to wait it out because he knows that you're not going to be a problem. You're not going to be Deshaun Watson or various others, even though I'm not knocking Deshaun Watson by any stretch of the imagination because I understand exactly where he's coming from. But when you're a person that gets along as well as Dak Prescott appears to get along with the organization, despite their treatment of him from time to time, and you're still not dogged about moving on, that tells me you're not going anywhere, so we shouldn't expect anything else.
Once upon a time in American team sports, Stephen A., you wanted to play center field for the Yankees or be the center for the Lakers, right?
Or quarterback for the Cowboys.
Or quarterback for the Cowboys. And you know what's happened, you know, since decades have passed? The position changed on the Yankees. Now you want to be the shortstop for the Yankees. Same thing with Lakers. You want to be a backcourt player for the Lakers. But you know what stayed the same? Quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. You know what the other difference is? The Yankees and Lakers have won tons of championships in the intervening years, and the Cowboys haven't. And still, yet and still, it's quarterback for the Cowboys is the glamour spot. When Dak Prescott says that's the only way I see it, I don't think that's where I think the accent is. The emphasis is on the I, not that's the only way I see it. That's the only way I see it. How do they see it is the question. They left him off the hype video. They left him off the hype video. Stephen A., it is perplexing to me that they still haven't come to an agreement with Dak when Jerry Jones seems, hey, average annual value, I'll give it to you. I just want to give you an extra year. And Dak's agent, I suppose, is saying, no, we don't want that extra year because we think we'll do better off if we can come to free agency sooner because the CBA will change or the salary cap will change and we'll be able to make more money. Over that little detail at the end of the contract, 5 years from now, Jerry is towing the line. He's holding the line right there. I think when Dak tweets this out, the emphasis on the I, as in, look, we're at an impasse. By the way, in a division, the worst division ever, right? The NFC East. And you say, well, Washington's defense, who's going to be their quarterback? The Giants haven't gotten better, really, not to where they're going to challenge anything. And the Eagles are in disarray. So under those circumstances where this division's ripe for the picking, you're going to start to bog down in the details of a fourth or fifth season if you're the Cowboys? I think that's what Dak is talking about. You leave me off the hype video? You're saying I may not be in your future? Hey, everybody, I just want to make it very clear. I want to be the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. Do they want it?
Well, the sad part about that is that's what Jerry gets to lean on, and that's what Stephen Jones gets to lean on. And, you know, all joking aside, Max, with me trolling Cowboy fans because I can't stand it. We all know that. But I actually like Jerry Jones a great deal. I really do. I like him a lot. I've had the pleasure of talking to him on several occasions, and I'm really, really very fond of him. It's just that with this particular situation, it's almost one of those things where you walk into a negotiating room and you give away all your leverage because they know how much you love being a part of the organization. If Jerry Jones was the owner of the Houston Texans, he wouldn't be able to get away with this. If he was owning the New York Jets, he wouldn't be able to get away with this. If he was owning a multitude of franchises, any franchise in the National Football League, he wouldn't be able to get away with this. And I guess this almost validates the fact that they are America's team, because the star on the helmet, the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, the billion-dollar playpen, you know, the history of the Dallas Cowboys in terms of their tradition, the playmaker, primetime, Emmitt Smith, even Roger Staubach. And by the way, major, major props to the Hall of Fame, to the voters finally getting Drew Pearson into the Hall of Fame. It was a beautiful and touching thing. It was long overdue. He should have been in the Hall of Fame, the original number 88 with the Dallas Cowboys. And to give him that announcement with Roger Staubach and Jerry Jones right there in attendance was a beautiful, beautiful thing. He deserves it, and I'm happy for him. So we know the history of the Dallas Cowboys and what they represent. I just think in this particular instance, Jerry Jones is leaning on it in a very negative way, because you're using it to compel Dak Prescott to stay in Big D on your terms. And I think it's a damn shame that he's doing that. This is not the person he should be doing that to. This is the guy that he should be embracing in every way imaginable, because Dak Prescott has epitomized everything you should want your quarterback to be. It really is. It's a damn shame that Jerry Jones is picking him to play that hard line in it. Just like it's just 1 year, Dak Prescott wants four instead of five. I understand if you're Jerry, you want the fifth year or whatever, but damn, Jerry's in his late 70s now. This is 4 or 5 years down the road. If the man wants 4 years instead of five, why are you sweating it, man?
Well, I think maybe you answered it. I think the idea for Jerry Jones may be this is keeping us talking about them, right? If Jerry's gotten his mind, yeah, in the end, I'll give him what he wants. But I can string this along and keep the Dallas Cowboys on the front page, so to speak. You know, they're talking about it on First Take. It's all over the media. Well, look, here's an alternative for Jerry, in my opinion, Stephen A. Remember when Jimmy Johnson was on the show? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very clear what's going on with the Cowboys. It's the curse of Jimmy Johnson. Mm-hmm. Not in the Ring of Honor. Are you kidding? Jerry, put Jimmy Johnson in the Ring of Honor. Get out of your own way, and the curse of Jimmy Johnson will be lifted. Give Dak Prescott the contract and work on the defense. But this ain't that hard.
You got a smirk on your face, and you're laughing, and I don't blame you for it because I understand where it's coming from. But it takes a far more serious tone with me from the standpoint that Jimmy Johnson clearly delivered for you. And the only reason you would keep him out is for your personal feelings. The fact that I have a problem with the fact that the owner has something, has that definitive of a say as to who gets into the Ring of Honor. The Ring of Honor should be determined by the fans who watched and supported your team all of these decades, even before you ever arrived, Jerry Jones, that helped uplift or live up to or uplift the name brand. And then in the case of Dak Prescott, let's also remember, Max, that I had a problem with the fact that, again, you're waiting until a guy gets hurt. Remember, when Dak Prescott first came on board, you were reluctant to put him at the helm when Tony Romo was there, even though Tony Romo had injuries, he clearly wasn't 100%, and Dak Prescott was flat out balling and was clearly the future, just coming in as a rookie. You have held out on this guy at every turn. And it's 5 years later, and Jerry's still doing the same thing he did to Dak Prescott as a rookie. I don't find that funny.
But well, this is why it's funny to me. Because Jerry Jones seems to have gotten used to the idea, and that's why I wouldn't put it past him just to string this along to keep the Cowboys in the headlines. Maybe the same thing with Jimmy Johnson, Ring of Honor. You know, Jerry Jones, it's difficult to win a Super Bowl. It's difficult to be in the headlines for winning all the time. Jerry Jones has been unable to do that in a quarter century. And he did it originally because he ushered in the era of the hard cap and then manipulated it with a roster bonus, right, immediately to grab Deion Sanders. But once that little parlor trick was discovered and everyone figured out how to do that, he didn't have that advantage. And they haven't won anything in 25 years. So my point is, it's easier to do what Jerry Jones is doing, to stroke your ego by keeping your team in the news and making your money the same way without winning. What's harder to do, or at least less ego gratifying, but in the long run is better, is if you cut the shenanigans and just get to the business of running a football program, because the Dallas Cowboys would have a shot then.
All right, yeah. Well, before Dak Prescott was looking for 4 years rather than five, but now things look like they may have changed. Ed Warder said this morning on KJZ that now Dak Prescott wants a 3-year deal, $40 million a year.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Chris Doyle has resigned as the director of sports performance for the Jacksonville Jaguars after backlash due to his hire. Doyle, formerly the strength coach at the University of Iowa, was accused of making racist remarks and also bullying players while he was there. Jags coach Urban Meyer and GM Trent Baalke released a statement late Friday night that said the team failed to properly consider the impact of hiring Doyle. Stephen A., what's your reaction to this news?
Well, I think it was a bad call on the part of Urban Meyer. Now, you know, me personally, I mean, I don't know if cancer culture applies here or whatever, but I'm of the mindset that this is the land of second chances. And, you know, when I initially heard of the hire of Chris Doyle, I sided with Urban Meyer from this perspective. He said it was vetted. I assumed that he had spoken to players as well as folks within the organization before making the decision, and that it wasn't a unilateral decision on his part and that everybody was on board. And that's really the way that I took it, and I left it at that. Little did I know that Urban Meyer hadn't consulted with players, hadn't really talked to anybody. He swore that he vetted Chris Doyle, but clearly, you know, the facts show otherwise. The reality of the situation is that to have this guy coming out of Iowa, known for racist remarks and bullying and belittling players, that's bad enough. But when you take into account Urban Meyer's history, particularly as it pertained to Zach Smith, or how the former Ohio State receivers coach, he had hired 3 years after Zach Smith got in trouble on domestic violence charges and stuff like that. Urban Meyer has dropped the ball, and that was that. You know, that was years ago. And so to come into the new job and to do it again, and this is one of your first hires, it makes Urban Meyer look very, very bad. It makes him come across as very desensitized or insensitive to the times that we're living in and what's been going on. And more importantly, I think he can expect to be confronted by some players who'd want an explanation as to why he would think that it was okay to make that decision. And just as an aside, I just want to say this. I'm one of those guys who believes if you're not in jail, okay, if you're not incarcerated, you know, you should be working for somebody, because if you ain't working for somebody, then that means we got to support you as citizens paying our taxes and stuff like that. I support everybody being employed. So I'm never happy about folks being unemployed, because to me, that's just weight on society as a whole. Having said all of that, when you're in positions of leadership and you're a leader of men and you have a plethora of men that you're overseeing, and to some degree you're going to have to answer to as well, even though you're the boss, you've got to sensitize yourself to a situation well enough to know what decisions you should and should not make. And Urban Meyer, him doing this shows us that the very things that he's apologized for in the past in terms of making bad judgment calls and what have you, he still isn't finished making those highly questionable calls. And that's the unfortunate part of all of this.
Let's talk about cancel culture, Stephen A. I'm against it if it's permanent. If the cancellation means you're permanently disqualified from participating in American life, in your chosen profession, even at the highest levels, because you've made a mistake, I'm against that. However, and I agree with you, second chances and then some. What is the point? To punish? Just to punish? Yeah. No, it's to make people better, to make the world better, right?
Yeah.
But before you get the second chance, I think you need to be held accountable. You need to take accountability for your behavior. You need to take steps to correct it, and then you can move on. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen... Let's take Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer comes out at the press conference and says, or makes the statement, that this was thoroughly vetted, right? He vetted it, and the players are going to have to trust me. Hold on a second. He also talked about transparency. Okay, well, coach, to the issue of transparency, what was the vetting process like? What questions did you ask him? Why are you now satisfied? What did he tell you? That can't be opaque. You know, like, you can't say it's transparent on the one hand and then it's not transparent on the other. Because when the players just have to trust you, what you're saying is, in my judgment, it's not actually transparent, in my judgment, everything's okay now. I haven't heard accountability taken, and I don't know what Urban Meyer's judgment is based on. What were the steps, what were the vetting steps actually taken? So when he tells his players, you'll just have to trust me, that is the opposite of transparency. And because I haven't heard an accountability taken, I don't know that the subject in question is ready to have the second chance. Furthermore, Stephen A., you brought up, I believe you touched on Zach Smith, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is Urban Meyer's especially recent history indicative of a head coach or an administrator who makes sound decisions in this department? It doesn't seem to me it is. Well, it seems to me that contradicts his very point. So just to conclude my point, I am also against cancel culture if it means you are permanently canceled, with few exceptions. However, there must be responsibility taken first. I didn't see that here.
I agree with you. I will say this, too. If we want to get into the mind, the psyche of a Urban Meyer, based specifically on his words in terms of you're going to have to trust me. Urban Meyer, who I believe to be a brilliant football coach, is clearly one of those people. Last time we saw him, he was winning 90% of his games at Ohio State, won a couple national championships, won national championship at Florida. We know what he brings to the table as a coach. He's clearly one of those people, I believe, when he said, you have to trust me. In other words, he's saying, I'm a winner. I win. Trust me that the things that I'm doing will lead to us winning.
Right.
And obviously there are people that are going to have a problem with that because they're like, winning isn't everything. Well, to a lot of football coaches, as Lombardi would say, yeah, it's the only
thing. Certainly to Urban Meyer.
You know what I'm saying? And so that would explain things. Which brings me to Trent Baalke. Let's not let him off the hook. He is the general manager of the Jacksonville Jaguars. You do have some say within that organization. You're not a novice at this. You used to be in San Francisco in pro personnel, and then you were the GM. You've been around. And so for you to be around and for this to happen under your watch as well, because the players can only say but so much. Yeah, they can say it, but you know this is not basketball. It's football. And so they probably, even though some would speak up, for the most part, dudes will get scared. They'll end up losing their jobs eventually the second you snap a finger.
I want to touch on that.
So you got to look at executives that are working in concert with Urban Meyer. You certainly had the power to say something. Where the hell were you?
I want to touch on that, Stephen A., because you're touching on something now. There is a huge overlap with labor issues and race issues. There is. And if you take the NFL, for example, there are zero black owners, zero African-American ownership in the NFL. The players are over 70% African-American. And so the same thing in college, right? Like the predominantly African-American players with few coaches and ADs. So the administrators and the people in positions of authority are usually white, and the labor is usually black, right? So there is an overlap of labor and race issues here. Now, I appreciate that football respects a chain of command, that you're supposed to do your job and trust the authority. It has its roots also like in West Point, not just in the Ivy Leagues. But so I appreciate that.
But when the coach in question now, the strength and conditioning coach, is accused by 50-plus players of treating people differently based on race, that sounds credible to me. It's not one or two, it's 50. And then the message comes from the coach, you're going to have to trust me. Here's the authority, here are the players. Here are the white people, here are the black people. And you, none of whom are represented up here in ownership, are going to have to trust us. And here's a strength and conditioning coach who 50 of you said treated you differently based on race. There is a huge overlap between labor and race here.
Well, it just says that executive branch needs to be diversified. Breaking
That's
news.
Right. Breaking and ownership. News.